Okay, let's bring the meeting to order. Board of Water Commissioners, November 19th. Can we review the minutes and have a motion on the minutes, please?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the minutes as they're printed.
I second.
Second. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor of accepting the minutes as written?
Aye.
It's unanimous. Sign the minutes. Okay, do you have one? We'll go ahead and we'll sign the warrants now.
That's for old commissioners.
Chris, do you know how Quorum sets the price of their fuel that we buy?
They get it at a discount rate, and they charge us 10 cents per gallon
for
handling fee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right now, I think it's in there. But we're currently paying like $2.89 a gallon, maybe $2.99, something like that. But it's usually below what you see out there. But once
right.
they buy it, it stays at that until they're almost down low, then it
right.
gets
so they
back up.
So they buy like 10,000 gallons at a time or something?
I don't know the size of the tank, but it's got to be close to that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's like they get a tanker load or whatever they
right.
bought it at.
Right, then that's what you get it, because they had that problem. We had to sign a contract saying we were going to buy so much. That hard that we weren't going to be going anyplace else if the price went lower. So when it drops really quick, they don't want to be stuck with it there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, once they own it at a higher price. So that's probably been the case lately. As it's
yeah, it's actually, we're getting a good deal now, but it's getting to the point where it's only about a 10 cents more or less.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it still makes sense to do it that way. Okay, let's go to water quality.
Nothing really to report for October. Everything went well. You did get your MTV the month before. There was no detects. This current month, we did get a coliform hit at one of our tanks. It never repeated. Came in the first time, repeats were gone. We never got another. It's not a violation in any way. We didn't have to advertise or anything. It was West Street tank. According to what we had a 2% residual when it came out. So I don't know really what it was, what it could be. It could have been iron, could have been anything.
So we had a 2% residual of chlorine?
Chlorine, yeah.
Chlorine
a 0.2, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I know what you're saying, the level that you wanted.
Right. And it was no different. We popped it up to 0.4 just to be safe and put it out that way for that night. Next day went out there, tested it. Everything was fine. Let it run for the rest of it. Haven't actually put it back down. And we haven't had another problem. We just had stuff done on Monday, samples, and all came back clean.
Okay.
We did also do our byproduct testing that the state's requiring us to do now. We did our second quarter of it. We have not got the results back on that.
That's the trihalone methane.
Yeah, the HAAS5 and trihalone methane or THMs. Yeah.
And so we'll have to just continue doing that as long as we continue to chlorinate, which is.
We have to do it for at least, I think it's a year, and maybe it might be two, can't be positive, but then they'll give us a waiver of doing it once a year. Right now, they're minimum levels, they're barely detectable. The state's like, I don't even know why we're making you do it, but we have to be sure. So we have to do it before you can ask for any kind of a waiver. You have to do it for so long.
Okay. Are there certain thresholds that if you hit them, you'll...
Yeah. There's certain thresholds. They'll have you start doing other tests or a lot more flushing or have you treat for those.
Okay. But we're not coming close.
Not even. Not slightly.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Any other questions?
No, that's good.
All right. Let's go on to the rest of your report.
All right. Pumping in October of 2013, 16,410,000. October of 2014, 15,067,000 for 1,343,000 less than 2013.
Thank God for the rain?
Yes. Thank God for the rain. The day after I left here, the meeting last month, and went back to the office, I waited a week and I lifted the conservation ban. Like we said we were going to, I said at the end of the month I was going to lift it. 3 days later, I got an email from the Department of Environmental Protection saying that we had a drought advisory out because there was 2 months of the highest pumping and no rain that they've had in a long, long time. It was well below what it should be. And I got it on 3 days of solid rain days. It's the day I received there was a drought. And it said on it, too, that it would... More than likely, if everything came back, would be
rebalanced
and be lifted. But I called even just to be safe, because I tell you the truth, with just a drought advisory coming to me, I didn't know what our responsibility was behind it. So I called and that we really didn't have to do anything. It was just making us more aware of it. Because I said, geez, If I put that band back out, if I have to, after 3 days of rain, they're going to come at me with pitchforks. And but
so overall, did you feel that the voluntary conservation measures were effective this summer when you enacted it?
No, not really.
Really?
I thought maybe they were in the beginning, but once we got hot, nobody cared. Once it got real, they just pumped like they wanted to.
That's because it was voluntary.
Right, right. And you can't really, you can't go mandatory unless the state makes us, which with the water withdrawal permits and everything else, they're trying to make that a mandatory thing for everybody, that you will be watering even the nods and stuff like that.
So did you ever feel that the wells were getting drawn down to a point lower than you were comfortable with?
I did at one point, but it was ended up being a problem in one of the stations and one of the intelligent transmitters. I was, oh my God, all of a sudden.
Was that in three?
It was actually in one,
that's
I believe.
Right. That's right, it was in one.
It was one of the stations. There was one of the stations that I had a problem. Maybe it was four. I can't remember right now, but all of a sudden it dropped down, and I was like, well, I'm looking at like a foot before the screen.
Yeah, we talked about it in like August.
I think it was, yeah. And it ended up being, I called up and had somebody come down to check the transmitters, and it had to be replaced. There was something wrong with it, because as I started going back and looking, there'd be like one day that it would shoot down, then the next day it would shoot back up, and it just doesn't happen that way. It's gradual.
Right.
Or when you get a drawdown, it's dead down, but if it wasn't running and it did that, it's just because it was losing. So as soon as we got it fixed, everything came back. It was still low, believe me. I mean, we were still at the point where I was like, ooh, we ended up putting that pump down to, usually pumps 500 gallons a minute to 400 gallons a minute, just to keep it from drawing so much because we were nervous at the time. But it ended up being, and we have to put it back up at this point, but we just don't need it.
Okay. Well, I just, you know, to remind you to keep in mind, I mean, you have the rest of the ordinance to enact, you know, non-voluntary measures if you feel that that's what we need to get to.
Okay.
All right. So definitely. We'll address that next summer.
Yeah, and it seems to go in well, I like to say in years of six. You'll go 6 years of real, it'll be going downhill, downhill, downhill for 6 years, or going uphill, boom, then it'll keep dropping. For some reason, it seems to run in six-year intervals around here, and I'm not sure why, if you're looking back through the history and stuff.
Just one other question on that. Do you get many inquiries at the office? I mean, do people call and ask, you know, what's my obligation?
Maybe I've heard of maybe three or four. There are some concerned citizens out there that are asking about it that don't have computers. Because we say, you know, you can go online and everything. But Sherry might not have told me everybody.
Right.
Who called. She handled that a lot because she knew how to tell people where to go and everything else.
Okay.
So
maybe
I might not hear about it sometimes.
Maybe we can do a small postcard that kind of lays out the basic instructions for people, and when we, you know, put the measures in place next July or whatever,
we could
send a
could even send one out with a minimum bill instead of and putting it in some kind of explanation. And I know that all that stuff doesn't get read, but it would be probably cheaper for us to throw it in and send it in with a piece of mail that we're already sending out than doing it only at the
absolutely.
Time.
Well, let's just make a note on that and
give
it some consideration in the spring.
My question was that if the state determines there's a state of emergency, what does that mean?
That would put us into what we'd have to put our Emergency Conservation Act,
okay.
Instead of voluntary, we have to do mandatory then.
Yeah.
They would ask us to enact our policies.
Yeah, I don't have ours, you know, committed to memory, but it goes in different stages,
yeah.
And one is voluntary, and then two is odd even, and then three is something, four is like, that's it, drinking and cooking
yeah.
Only
yeah.
At the end.
Take a bath if you want to take a shower,
yeah.
A quick shower and go. Yeah.
It'd be flushing once every 4 days.
Well, yeah. Anyway, that's how it goes. I think there's four levels to it. Fortunately, I'm not familiar with it because we've never had to use it.
Right.
To explore it.
Okay, we did have two new water services installed over in the Meadows. We had one relocation done. That was a house that was torn down over on Santuit Road, which is now has an address of Bay Road. We kind of turned the house sideways, made it a little bigger, and had bought the lot beside it.
Hmm.
And they had cut the service back, so we just relocated it right back into the new house in the back there. Last they had the bid opening for the extension down here for Main Street, and CC Construction won the bid. They thought I put the email in here, but I did not. Their bid, our portion of the bill came to basically $140,000. We got the money there to pay. I was pretty happy to see that. It seems they were the actual lowest water to put in at 100 and it was actually 139.50. So it's a little over 139,000. But it went as high as 248 at one point with the different bids. They only had six bids, and our portion, it was half of them were under and half of them were over what we had for money. So I was just hoping the other portion wasn't higher or lower, you know, was lower also.
Because
mm-hmm. There was points there where, like, Lynch came in high on our side but low on their side. But CC came in low on both, so they did get the bid. They just sent the paperwork in yesterday to Joanne at the in Barnstable. That she's the woman who does the all the bid packages, checks them over, sends them out. And as long as everything was okay, she was going to sign off on it and send it back to them. Unless the town of Barnstable makes them do anything, they do not plan on doing anything now to the spring. They said the plants, they don't want to get into tearing the road up with the plants out and everything else. They would like to start in March on the job. So I told them to keep me in touch, let me know what was going on.
Okay. And that's the account 6062, right?
That's the balance of 27.
Yeah, it should be like
installation 14. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That's the one.
Okay. And so do we have more engineering fees that...
There's going to be some inspection fees going on. I think the engineering fees are basically done. I'm going to have to get an inspector to go in there to use out of it.
Yep.
That right there has been written up as Main Street Extension in the article. So whatever doesn't get used at Main Street will be turned back into the town.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So I'm just looking and anticipating that we've got sufficient. We may have maybe turning back 20,000.
At the most, yeah,
okay.
I would say.
Okay.
And there's always, you never know, there could be contingencies there. Something that happens, you know, that are unforeseen or something.
Right. dewatering or
right.
something like
right.
that. Right. Okay. But it, right now you feel comfortable with it?
Yes,
based
I do.
On the bids a bit.
Especially with that price, I do, yeah.
Yeah. All right, great.
All right. I really don't have much. I talked to you about Sprint. You guys advised me to go talk to Mark. I did talk to Mark, and I actually saw him yesterday and didn't even talk to him about it. We were at the health meeting, not the Boswell County Health meeting that was going on. Well, for Bay Point over here. I'll talk to you about that later. And so I tried calling today, and he did not get back to me. He has been extremely busy. I realize that, but I did drop everything off to him. I'm just waiting on his response.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not a critical thing. He's reviewing the lease to see what Sprint's obligation is.
Correct. Correct. He's going
to
review it, look at that.
Or to not to inspect.
Right.
Via our standard.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's all we need to know is what we can, you know, what influence or the rights we have in the lease to, you know, influence them one way or the other.
Right.
Either way, we've got to make sure that what they're proposing is meets the standards. Well, I'll just say we should expect to know by December.
Right. All right. James Gallagher of Mashpee has accepted a job invitation for January 1. So, I mean, excuse me, January 5, because it's the first Monday in January. January 1 is actually the week before start, partial pay and everything.
Okay.
So, first full week, he's coming in, he's supposed to be in for the end of the week to discuss, talk a little more about everything, the pay, what the needs for applications, and stuff from Tony. We're going to set him up with Tony and everything else.
Okay, so you had interviewed him.
Yes,
previously.
I had interviewed him previously. He was basically my second choice. He's a young kid. He used to work at Stop and Shop up here. He doesn't know much about waterworks, but you could see in his eyes he wanted the job so much, and that's what you want, somebody that really wants to be there and really wants to work.
Okay. So he's starting as an entry level?
Yep. He'll start at the same pay as Jake is right now, with the opportunity to go up as he get licenses.
Okay. That's terrific. All right, good. Well, you'll have...
Where does he live, Chris?
Training.
He lives over on Saddleback Road in Mashpee right now. There's actually, he has grandparents that live over in King's Grant, which off of King's Way.
Mm-hmm.
Goes by the name of J.R. I mean, the nickname J.R.
Okay.
Instead of James. So, be nice that I'll have Jen, Jake, and J.R. at the shop. All right. The other thing that I have here, a couple months ago I talked to you about radios and our failing system that we have out there. I had Matt today at the shop. We had to do some more work on the antennas to get things going, to keep everything going along. And I told him to give me a little more information why he would rather have the radio system here than say the cable or the fiber optic or anything like that. And he said, well, for one thing, he says it's much more secure. You can't hack into a radio system. You can't, he says there's just no way. He says it's almost impossible to get into to work with your SCADA system. I said, okay.
No one can monitor it then?
I If we own the frequency, or we have the license on a certain frequency and everything, they could probably get in, I would think, monitor them, but I don't think they can work anything on it.
Okay.
And all they'll be able to do is hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to what talking, I would think, and everything.
All right.
Because they talk in computer talk there, they don't talk,
yeah,
you know, as somebody else is talking.
Okay.
He also said, besides, he says, the one you have, he says, illegal, and eventually they're going to come down on you. He says, you're not supposed to have those anymore. We've got to go to a low-band system.
We're using the frequency that you use?
We could still use the frequency. It's the bandwidth or something. I think they could still go over the same frequency. It's just the radios themselves aren't legal on it, or the frequency they put out. I mean, the low band, he says that we're going to. It's a little different. He says it's changed.
Is it 200?
What's that?
Is it 400?
Yeah, maybe that's. He said you get these. He says you can actually check them now. He says the ones that they have now, he can work on the radios. These that we have now are sealed units, the old Motorola's. You can push a button to talk on them, or you can hook them up and have them talk themselves. He says there's no way to check out the outputs. They're strength or anything else, he said, unless you go out and get a very expensive piece of equipment, he said, which you can't even warrant. So he said it's better maintenance there. He said, and even if we do go fiber optic and get a security system in on that, he would still suggest, he said, that you stay on, he says, the radio for this. He said, you can put modem and go through it also, he said, but for your SCADA system, he said, I'd prefer it to be a radio.
So we don't know if it's 200 megahertz or not. We don't really. We just don't know.
He told me just a low band system that shuts up.
That's what a lot of the guys switched over to, 200.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's illegal. Maybe we're on like a 100. I'm not even sure what it is, to tell you the truth. I just know that he says you can't do it at it anymore.
So did he propose what the cost was going to be to do this?
Switch the 9 different radios that we'd need. And you'll need adapters for the antennas that are there. It's going to be just $17,700, just a little under that.
What did Centerville did? How many stations does Centerville have?
32.
Cost them $75 to make this change.
$75.
Yeah.
Okay. You know who they used?
200. The 200 megahertz.
Yeah.
They just did it. The only drawback with the 200s is you can't put your security system on it.
Yeah, you never can.
Yeah.
You could on the
700.
Oh, you could.
Yeah, you couldn't. You can't on the 200. It won't take the cameras.
Yeah, that's what he said. Which even the ones we have now.
I think
almost what they were proposing to us for the security system. Something close to that. That's a better unit.
I've been talking to. I've been right there with Glenn the whole time, trying to make sure, because I knew we needed an alternative, you know, for this thing before it fell in our face. And he's had no problems making this change. He doesn't have any interruption with the 200, where they had piles of interruptions.
Well, that's what
happened.
They were
at 800.
We had station 3 down almost all week. But it was down to the point where it was telling us it was running, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
So it was just lit up all week long, and we went back and forth. We ran it a couple times by hand. We tried changing out the radios. We tried doing everything. I called him up today. He came down there. He goes through, turns it on, says, it's working fine. What's wrong with it?
I don't know. Maybe Russ is going to be able to shed some light on it. Russ is going to maybe be able to shed some light on it at some point, but as he's looking more into it. Maybe it saves us a couple of bucks in that we're not putting the SCADA into the fiber optic.
Right.
I don't know, Russ. You may have a
knowledge of me. If we go ahead with this, because it sounds like we need it, how are we going to pay for it?
Well, that's the hot part.
As is.
I don't to bring some of it down. There's not much I can do here looking at what we have.
Well, let's just sort of jump on the obvious and look at 5242 stations and tanks.
Yeah.
So there's a balance of 19,500 there. But what are the ongoing expenses that come out of?
I still have to have all my maintenance done basically out of there. I have to do. That money's going to be gone, Cynthia. I mean, I usually use that money to come to within $5,000 of it sometimes in the end of the, just before we turn it back.
Mm-hmm.
That more than likely will be gone. There's not much I really can do there. The only thing that, it's, I'm kind of drawing here, but if I had them separated out, one might be able to be done out of building repair. Because it's the tank, I don't know if I could do it out of the tank fund. You know, if we replace that one.
You mean from 6043?
It's nothing that's going to be new, though. So, I mean, it's not for replacement parts. I really can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like this is more of a maintenance issue. Although,
right.
How old is the unit that's at the Centura tank?
The original one that was put in there. We just added another power supply to it because it's been messing up back and forth. The antenna got hit by lightning up there. I had to put a new antenna on today and put a new power pack just because it kept dying out. He says, I don't know if he said that thing's ever worked properly. I said, well, I can tell you it did for a few months, but after that it started messing up and we've been trying to figure it out since. I don't know if this falls under the security system. If it can be used for that, I mean, it is, your SCADA system is your security system. Also,
I don't see why it wouldn't. It has to be in the mix anyways. If we're going to make this thing go with the fiber optics, we're still going to have to be in the middle of this.
I turn that off.
Well, here's...
Yeah, that does kind of make sense, though.
Here's how we should approach it, then. When do you propose that this needs to be done? Immediately?
Well, I mean, if you want to wait till next year...
No, I don't want to wait. I mean...
No, I don't...
Calendar year, maybe, but not...
I mean, I've had this price for 3 months now. I would like to get it done before the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he told me he didn't think it would take too much more than a day or two to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can get it done pretty much.
It's basically a retrofit thing, yeah, with a couple pieces. So once we can figure it out a little bit here, figure out what we can do...
Can you check back, Chris, and make sure that it's not right back on 700 or 800 megahertz? If it isn't, make sure that it isn't?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that won't be a problem at all. I could probably let you know in a second.
Yeah.
What, you want to know,
is it 200 megahertz? It's at this frequency.
Sorry, someone just said happy birthday to me.
Is it your birthday?
Happy birthday.
No.
Joke.
That's my brother. You would think he might know.
Your brother?
And not the one that drinks, so. you just want to know if with the megahertz?
What's the frequency? Is it 200 megahertz? 200 megs. I'm just interested because there's a couple of changes to 200.
Okay. Well, what I see that needs to be done here is we've got to determine if we have sufficient funds to do this. I do not recall the language from the warrant article that we used for 6057. So I would suggest that you take the language from the warrant article and again submit it to Attorney Boudreau and get an opinion as to whether that language is of a comprehensive nature that would include system controls as well as security controls. I do have a recollection that it does include something for system data acquisition and control, and we may have spelled that out because it was a component of the overall whole system. So just verify that, and then if that is the case, then next month we'll make a decision on how to move ahead with that.
Okay. Good idea, thank you.
Sure. One other question I had for you. So it looks like we blew the maintenance budget already for the trucks.
Yes.
How do you feel going into the winter? Are we in okay shape with the condition of them now?
Two of them are perfect. It's just mine.
Okay.
You know, and I don't. I've just started burning oil in it this year. All of a sudden, I noticed my check oil light come on and went out, and I was a foot and a half down. Or should I say, my little code told me to check the oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done a lot of repairs on it right now. It's getting to the point we're going to have to ask for a new vehicle.
Mm-hmm. What year is it?
It's
04?
I believe it's an 05.
05, okay.
Yeah.
So that
was... it's 9 years old. It's just turned 85,000 on it.
Right.
You know, and they're not easy miles. Usually it's not highway miles, I'll tell you that.
No, I know. I mean, that's the interval that we've always changed them at, 9 to 10 years. I think we maybe pushed that one out a little bit because of the other trucks with the plows and the whole thing. All right, so the two, obviously the new truck is good. The other pickup is in good shape for the winter.
Yep.
Which one are you going to do most of the plowing with?
The, not the newest one. The one before. It's set up for the plow. The new one we don't have a plow hookup on.
Right.
Right.
Okay. And so you feel like your truck is going to get there?
Yep.
All right. That's good then. I don't have any other questions.
Yeah,
do you have any
frequency, don't I believe it's 150, 107 megahertz, 70 megahertz, so it's under the 200 band. Yeah. So it's not going to be, it's not anything high, it's a low.
No,
under 200, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it mattered whether it was 200 right on the money.
Right, that's what I mean. It runs up, I think they call it anywhere from one up, you know, the 200 megahertz instead of around. I think it's a certain one, like low, anything above 500 high or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, the last thing I have on here is I'm going to have my yearly request for the day of after Thanksgiving. I have a pretty new crew, except for a couple of us. I tell you, the old guys deserve it. New guys, I don't know if they've been around all year, but I guess we could kind of be rude if we made them stay.
Are you proposing to handle it the same way that everybody's essentially on call or will be?
Yes. If there is a call, somebody will have to respond back to it. There's no overtime pay during the business hours. Normal. It would be like a normal day, except no one was going to be there.
Yeah.
Nobody will get paid to do checks or anything like that.
Right. So it's kind of like a floating holiday that
we
use at that. All right. We typically vote on that. So
I'd like to make a motion that we continue with the past practice for Thanksgiving.
Second?
Yes, second.
Okay, so we'll approve your request for a paid day off on a Friday following Thanksgiving for the staff, subject to making themselves available in the event of an emergency.
With limitations.
Thank you very much.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
For me and the staff, thank you.
You're welcome. And that wraps it up?
That wraps up my report.
Okay.
I just had one question. I was looking at your receipts there, and the receipts since July 1st for excess was a pretty large number. Is that because of all the billing that went out and people paying?
Yeah, we have about, today Jen told me there was about 33% that have paid the bills.
Okay.
Around now.
All right.
Between 30 and 40%.
Very good.
Yeah, we have
that's kind of what I thought. I just wanted
to. Doing deposits every day. She doesn't give me a break.
Very good.
Good. Keep the money coming.
Is this thing on?
Okay, great. Then let's move into old business, and I think we can do this in order because the Barnstable Land Trust folks won't be here for a half hour or so. So we can address Open Cape and the security system that we've been working on. I see Russell's here. Russ, are you here to address those projects? All right, great. Then let's do this. Chris, if you would, can we use your
microphone? Yours looks dead.
Oh, yours looks dead. Let's put this microphone in that holder and just have it. Yeah, just have it
raise that one for us
from there.
This one seems to be working.
Thank you, Mr. Wiecamp.
I can recreate this to make it a little larger and resubmit it to Chris or put on 11x17. But what we have here is basically a 50% cost estimate on where we're at now. We've solved enough of the unknowns with the tank design. I think we've confirmed that we're going to look towards a 300,000-gallon tank. We'll have a 12-inch pipe coming out, a 16-inch feeder pipe for the tank, a 12-inch coming out of the tank. I don't think there's going to be extensive recommendations for water main replacements beyond a new water main going to the existing 10-inch line that runs up the dirt access road there. So a while back, just to go back to the cost estimating process, the previous memo we submitted in April identified a range between, I think it was $1.7 and $2.3 million. Depending on if it was a $2 or a $300,000 tank, if you can topple the tank or if you have to dismantle the tank, those are kind of the major factors here. So running down this cost estimate here, it's a basically 2.3. It's a 2.285. And it's purposely on the conservative side. And I'll go over a couple of the items just to note here. One, the cost beam that we're carrying for a 300,000-gallon tank is $1.15 million. Now, that is the average cost based on budgetary estimates from the four tank manufacturers. Traditionally, budgetary estimates are usually on the conservative side. And again, this is the average. The lowest of the four estimates from the tanks we got was $990,000. God willing, the fuel prices keep stable or fall, we could be seeing even lower than that. These folks are coming from a long way away, so mobilization is a big part of their cost. So again, it's likely going to be $1 million or less for the tank. I have 1.15, so there's an additional sum of money there. We did add in for right now, I haven't sized a generator. I just carried a cost for a 30 kilowatt. That's probably more than what we need. It's probably going to be more in the 15 and 20 range, something like that. That had a cost of almost $50,000 when it's all said and done. And I did look at recent bids for generators of that size, but that cost may very well come down to the $30,000 range. The biggest number here at the 50% stage, I almost always carry a 20% contingency. Once we get to the 75% stage, we'll knock it down to 15% contingency, and at the 100% phase, we'll carry a 10% contingency. So that's $360,000 for a contingency at this stage. So that's more than it needs to be, but just rule of practice. I like to keep it at 20% when we're at this level. Historically, I find it at these meetings and projects of this nature, you're better off coming to meetings with the price continuing to decrease rather than, you know, trying to be a hero up front and saying it's going to cost $1.62 million and then each meeting. So, oh, it's going to be 1.8, now it's going to be 2, and bids come in at something higher. So at least this approach, we're in this ballpark of approximately $2.3 million. I believe we've covered all the bases, the fencing. Right now we're planning the cost bases on toppling one of the tanks on Main Street, dismantling West Street. That's one contingency item. You know, for example, if they can't topple the tank over at the other site for whatever reason, then that will add on $7,500,000 to the cost.
Did you say that they're not going to be able to topple, you don't think?
Depending on the way we're going to put out the demolition is we'll leave the demolition up to the contractor. They will be required to submit a written demolition plan and outlining which permits they need, what their approach is, how they're going to plan on doing it. We leave that up to the contractor, so it's their choice whether or not they can topple it or they can dismantle it. If for some reason, reviewing the demolition plan, we feel that it's not in our best interest to do it in that manner, we have the right to change that over. So I'd like to still carry the cost, at least for the West Street tank, to dismantle piece by piece, just given the surroundings there. It would be tough to topple that one. The other one, I think you have some ample room there. And it may be more feasible. Carry costs for the fencing, cantilever gate, you know, redoing the gravel roadway, getting down to some of the real nitty-gritty with the elevated water storage tank. You can see all the elements that make up that price. Carry $35,000 for a mixing system that will likely be in that neighborhood. We haven't reached out to Tideflex yet to do a detailed analysis. That will be one of the tasks in the upcoming month or so to start working on that. The various interior piping is carried in there. We have an insulated control room. We're going to do one similar to a tank that's in Marshfield, and that's something, Chris, we can still take a trip up there to look at that, but it's basically a cinder block room.
Yep.
One of the things I'll show at the Santua tank, the ladder is coming right down where all the action is there with the pipe and the SCADA controls and all that.
Yep.
We're going to move that ladder well to the other side of the tank, just give you a little more breathing room there. Some of the prices may be still a tad high. You know, the outside piping, I'm carrying $250 a linear foot for the buried 12-inch ductile iron. That includes excavation, backfill, chlorination, pressure testing, all those things. That will likely be a little bit lower. Won't be a huge overall savings for the project, but that will probably be $5,000 to $10,000 lower.
And what are we looking at there? Is it 100 feet?
Yes.
You're showing.
Okay. Yep. And then the associated hydrant gate valves. And then some 4-inch pipe to the 4-inch drain pipe leading out of the tank to the infiltration area. Then we move into the electrical and instrumentation. The instrumentation fee for the Santua tank was $72,000, so we're carrying a little bit higher than that. And you discussed earlier the use of potentially fiber optics going into the SCADA. One of the challenges I've been having with regarding the SCADA and the fiber optics is I've yet to find either a water or wastewater SCADA system that is hooked up to fiber optics. Every SCADA system I've either worked on or I've reached out to contact folks is done through radio transmission, and the remote monitoring is through cell phone dialing. I have a few more resources. I have the head SCADA guy that used to work for Siemens, which is pretty heavy duty. I'm going to reach out to him and some other colleagues just to see. But I'm physically concerned about the for now, you have an antenna on the tank that transmits a signal to the SCADA receiver at the station. When we're dealing with fiber optic, we have a hard wire with a connection. What does that plug into? You know, is this software, is this equipment outfitted right now to have fiber optics? So I haven't been getting great feedback from.
I believe you need some kind of modem at each spot,
mm-hmm.
which kind of opens it up to the World Wide Web or whatever. Yeah, at
mm-hmm.
this point. You had mentioned Siemens too, and yeah, they're very reputable up there and everything. Yeah, so I mean, he'd be somebody to talk to a little more on it, yeah.
Yeah, and if we really want to do, if it turns out and we want to explore that, you know, I can even bring this gentleman in for a meeting. He works at the Wareham Wastewater Treatment Plant. He does all the SCADA there. He works at 7 or 8 other treatment plants. So he's been, I've worked with him on a few other projects. As far as the fiber optics go, I did receive a call back from Open Cape, or actually they picked up the phone, which I was a little surprised. I asked Dan pretty much flat out, is this proposal still on the table or is it off the table? We haven't heard back. I've tried multiple calls. He's been fairly non-responsive. And he goes, no, it is on the table on our end. And one of the discussions we had at the past meetings was the original contract between Open Cape and Gatuit. Dan had wanted to upgrade some of that language based on the age of that contract, and he is still in the process of doing that. He told me that he was reaching out to other contractors to put this in to get a better price. But he basically said, in his words, we're going to have to start back from square one, you know, reissuing a new agreement and going from there. So it's some kind of progress. I don't know how to make him respond quicker. It seems that he has multiple projects and a limited workforce. So the best I think we can do is stay on him at some point, maybe issue a written letter or even pay a visit over there if he's not responsive. But every week or so, I'll give him a call and stay on him to try to get this information. I know that the commissioners obviously will have to review any updated or any new agreements or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. He says he's reworking the tank lease.
Well, okay. I mean, technically, it's a licensing agreement to allow them to place their equipment there.
Right.
And we've never really established what their part of the agreement is going to be as far as what they would return to the district. It seemed like the best that we could hope for would be to get a connection to the Open Cape system for the office.
That's right. That's what we were trying to do. Right.
You know,
this came at 4 o'clock this evening from Dan. It's just an email to me. If everybody wants to just take a quick read on it, it's just another. It's going to take a little while longer.
Mm-hmm.
Email.
All right. But I really think the best that we could hope for in this situation is that if they do revise what they're proposing for the licensing agreement, and if we allow them to install their microwave equipment to complete the municipal RAN, mm-hmm. To be used for municipal purposes in the event that the system goes down, in return for that, I believe that there's other language in their whole enabling act, if you will, that says that the system is supposed to be made available to municipalities to use on a regular basis, not just in an emergency situation. So, again, I think we had asked that the water department and the fire department both be connected, and I know that we went through the exercise and the fiber ends up 200 feet short of the fire department,
right,
or something like that. But I guess we'll see what they come up with. But I think we're going to just end up with, you know, reworking that same language and trying to get, I think at a minimum, trying to get our internet connections done through them. Okay, go ahead, Russ.
That's really the bulk of the update. I did go through the cell phone leases. I was optimistic in thinking I'd find a contact name and phone number in those leases, which is really just a contact address. So I talked to Chris earlier, and he thinks he may have a couple of the names and contacts, but if not, what we'll have to do is send a letter on letterhead saying, you know, we're planning on springtime of next year, spring, summer, or maybe summer or fall of next year, of demolition of this tank that your equipment is currently on, and we'll have to start to get the gears in motion to get that equipment out of there. Either relocate it, start thinking more about the potential for a tower out there. I don't know if that's something that's still on the table, or something going that route.
I don't see why not.
Yep.
Well, I don't know that we've explored anything going down that road. So let's, yeah, let's continue to try to get the contacts and reach out to those service providers and their tenants, actually. So we'll get that going so that it doesn't come as a total shock to everybody, you know, when the time comes that we want to decommission that structure.
Did you have any questions regarding the cost estimate at this stage of the game? Again, it's my intention to have that estimate be tightened up. And
yeah, you have on here, I just had Jen late this afternoon just add everything up to make sure figures kind of line up. Your construction subtotal is like 40,000 more than what all these add up to.
I think there's probably rounding involved there. Okay. When we do the Excel, we could, because we normally round down, so it's...
So it came out 40,000 less than you rounded it up to.
Yeah, with the construction, I mean, this is at this point, it's really just an order of magnitude, so we rounded to two significant digits. So
okay,
it's just 1.8 million is where we had it.
All right, just checking on it. And this is just some stuff that you wanted from me from last month.
It's always been a pet peeve of mine when you see a cost estimate that's to the final dollar and cents. Like if you think the cost is really, if, you know, if you think you're that good at cost estimating it. Better than I am. Okay.
All right. I don't have any other questions. Everybody good?
Yeah.
All right. Great.
Definitely.
Thank
okay.
you.
Good job,
Russell. Okay.
Thanks, Russ.
No problem. Chris, I'll be in touch.
Okay. Thank
good
you.
Thank you.
Have a nice holiday.
Thanks.
Take 631 off old business.
Yeah.
After we sign that lease, I probably should have brought it up in mind. So if we get a chance, I'd like to revisit it a little bit.
Yeah. How long do you think?
I don't think it'll take very long. Tell you the truth.
Okay. Well, let's do this then. We covered Open Cape issues, security system. We've got an update on the tank work. And so we've got Barnstable Land Trust, Old Park, scheduled for 6:15. Why don't we just go back? Good evening. Well, why don't we do this then? In the event that there are other interested parties coming with the 6:15 schedule, we need to take a couple of minutes. We'll go back
okay.
to the report and you can give us an update on 671.
Okay, that's fine. They have submitted yesterday, we got a phone call on Monday from Carol McCary asking if the board, if 671 was still going to be at the Board of Health meeting that was going to be held, if it was still going to be at 3 o'clock yesterday. And Jen said, I have no idea. I don't even know what you're talking about. To tell the truth. You'd have to call, you know, look and see if the agenda's on the website and check if there's anything. We weren't notified about anything. So she talked to somebody. You had called also. Okay, I'm sorry.
Phyllis, if you would.
Phyllis Miller, 688 Main Street, Couture. Carol called me. Jessica had informed us that 671 was on the Board of Health agenda. I checked and made sure it was on the agenda. Tommy Burgess and I, representing ourselves as the abutters and also members of the Civic Association, had said we would attend. I was amazed to get there and not find any of you three there, to find Chris yep. there with Attorney Boudreau. No knowledge of these plans, everybody, the Board of Health, I was just amazed. I mean, to have a major septic system discussed, which is upgrade to our well, flushing back, and to have their engineer come up and say that if the power was out, well, maybe he could get over with a generator. This is for 13 bedrooms, and what happens with a power outage? No testimony from you guys because you weren't there. I got up, irate. I mean, I'm trying to get you people to recognize what I know you recognize. I don't mean that sarcastically, but I mean the water issues in our village. I mean, I can't tell you. And all through the town of Barnstable, because I'm on the Land Acquisition Committee, and how little reverence people have for our groundwater. I mean, Jackie will tell you. I mean, town officials included. And this Board of Health, aside from one gentleman, and unfortunately I don't know his name, he's a Japanese orientation, and I don't know his name. He was the only one on the board that asked any intelligent questions about this septic system. And what happens? Well, the power was out for 5 days 2 years ago. I was in my house, had a radiator burst. I put in an $8,000 generator. I'm a widow for a long time. Do you think I wanted to spend $8,000 for a generator? Mm. But, I mean, they had no preparation for a generator. When Ojala was asked about what was going to go on with what happens if the sewage can't be pumped with a power outage, well, it would back up. Well, it'll only be X number of gallons. I mean, this is ridiculous. I said to them, I can't imagine that in a project such as this, an over 55 development, and you people, you know, are not even making provision for a generator. Thank goodness to this one board member who paid attention to this, because our attorney didn't get up and say, excuse me, and I understand you people didn't have advance notification, but I hope to God you'll be over to the town and say there was no advance notification. I have brought you the plans that have been revised. I can't tell you how many times since we all appeared before the ZBA. Now they have in these duplexes rooms that they say office, which is technically a bedroom, another bedroom. We had the settlement for 13 bedrooms. If you look at these current plans that they have just submitted to the town, you could have 8 more bedrooms back up to the 22 that they wanted originally, flushing into this system. And we're not there being represented. I mean, I truly think you guys, we need the district to get stand up. We've got a major well there. And we're talking about contamination of wells. And I don't, you know, I'm frustrated. My son says to me, Mother, don't have a heart attack off of this. But, I mean, you know, it's really a major issue. And we need to address, quote, I know we're the village, but we are the water district, and we are the people who represent the rest of the village, and we need to get to the town and to the building commissioner. A month ago, I had mentioned we had piles of black bags over at this site. which had been there for 3 months and not picked up at this site. Nobody from the town came and picked them up. I went to the dedication of the new police station in Osterville, and Mark Ells, assistant town manager, said to me, and Phyllis, how are things in the village of Pituit? Oh, everything's wonderful, is it? I said, no, it isn't. I told him that this had occurred. Nobody is over there checking the site, including us in the water department, which is abutting our well. You have a responsibility as well as me, and you should be over there, Chris, looking. I mean, I'm not, all right, and I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, within 15 minutes, Mark Ells had the Board of Health to the site and had a stop order put on the clearing of the land and of all of these bags of insulation material that had been sitting there for 3 months. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've got to do due diligence here in the village. I mean, this is ridiculous.
So they just played us?
They're playing us.
So this was going on behind the scenes, and we had no idea.
Well, you know, I'm not the village policeman. I'm bringing it to, I brought it to the civic board, talked to them there, but we don't have any authority or any standing. The water department has standing.
Yes,
you have standing up in Boston. We have no standing as abutters. We have no standing as a civic association. I'm appealing to you people. You have standing. And I'll show you.
Chris.
This is the plan that I'm sure Chris has. And if you look at it, you see that all of a sudden, all of these units that are going to be built now have, we had an agreement with zoning years back when the neighbors hired Mike Ford as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And, Rick, I know you were there every hearing, which we really appreciated. Now, this is like, I think, about their fifth revision of their plans. And now, on these residences, as you look at them and see the plans, they have all of these things that are going to turn into three bedrooms. And the only person yesterday at the Board of Health who said anything was this one gentleman who asked about the 5-foot doorways and whatever. He only had the plans for what's going on in the main house. He hadn't seen these that you people were just delivered, and our attorneys should have been up there yesterday saying nobody has had an opportunity to even look at these, and we're approving the septic system relevant to our water. And if you have these, do you have these?
No, I only have the septic system in the lot plan. That's all that is required to send to us because that's what we have required them to do. So I only
well,
have that.
Well, see, yesterday, if I hadn't challenged OJO.
Correct. Correct, and that was very smart. And the gentleman who caught that and asked how they were going to do it, they said that they were going to bring in a portable. If it
and I said that wasn't acceptable.
Right, you said that nobody in that place is going to lug a portable. You have to put something automatic.
This is an over 55 community. Who's going to produce a generator? Number one, and who you know, who's going to roll up a generator?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I really ask that we have some really strong support from our water district and know what's going on because this can be is going to be these people. Well, that's neither here nor there.
Okay. Thank you for sharing all of that.
Yeah, I just want to say I didn't notify them to go there. You shouldn't be upset at them. If anything, you should be upset at me. I notified the lawyer. And myself, and that's why I went with the lawyer. I thought we could handle it because I had that plan. They had done what we asked them to do in the easement that they, that we had, and I wanted to make sure they were following it. I
but
thought
what
that
were
that
you
going to
do? I know,
without
Chris,
letting them know, and I was going to report to them about it this evening.
Yeah, but Chris, let me just say to you, anything to do with this development, it isn't an easy thing, and I will say this to you respectfully. I mean, you cannot trust this with and bringing an attorney who has no idea what this is and of the history. I mean, the abutters hired Mike Ford to come up with the things for the district. Jessica Rapp said to me, I thought the fire district paid the lawyer to fight for the conservation easement on the back lot. No, it was the abutters who fought for the conservation restriction on the back to protect the well. And I want that publicly really known. I mean, and there are only, and they think, the original owner said to me one night at these hearings, I can outspend you, Mrs. Miller. And I said, I have no doubt you can. But that isn't the issue. We have one of our main wells down that lane. And we're sitting on a bombshell. And if you're going to allow 8 more, quote, office rooms in these plans that can be used as bedrooms when people come, and you're going to overload a septic, we're in trouble. Thank you.
Again, I appreciate your comments and your diligence on this. Just to address everything, I speak for the board when I say we're deeply concerned about the whole project. Although, to back up a little bit, this our board is an advisory board. Chris is the superintendent. He makes the decisions on behalf of the water system, if you will, and acts certently in his judgment to what's the best interest of the district and the system. We worked for countless hours when we finalized the language in the easement agreement and the settlement, if you will, that we did with Bay Point. That has been fully executed, and it is a legal instrument that we can use. Within that document, and I don't have it with me this evening, but I can certainly get the language out, we have the ability to review any septic or wastewater disposal system that's proposed. We have the ability to review it, comment on it, and to some degree, if I'm not mistaken, there's a process where we can even be reimbursed for certain engineering fees that are incurred by the district in review of the proposed system. This is sort of unfolding as we go here, and we're just getting this information. My question is, what was the result of the initial review?
Well, they voted to accept the position because we had no testimony other than myself getting up and saying, you can't have a development and upgrading of a major well and no generator in this man who's runs this engineering company, and I won't go into that, stating, well, I could come over with a roll-in generator.
Right.
Well, okay. I mean, that was an utterly ridiculous statement to begin with. I mean, do you think, but, I mean, I was trying to maintain, as my son said, Mother, it isn't worth having a heart attack over this, you know, but nobody else was getting up and challenging these people.
Okay.
And
so it was decided it wasn't supposed to go?
No, it wasn't postponed.
It was okayed as long as the changes were made of putting in the automatic transfer generator, okay. And that they expand the doors on the paperwork to say that there were 5-foot openings and change the building, which I didn't see, the plans. They had some plans that were supposed to be 5-foot openings, and they said 36 inches or something, and they questioned those.
And this one gentleman said, does the building inspector know...
Tom McKeon.
That, yeah, but, I mean, you look at these, and who is going to monitor this? As I said, the Board of Health isn't over there monitoring the site. The building inspector isn't over there monitoring the site. Mm-hmm. We, as the Water District in Pituit, have a major well there. Somebody needs to know what's going on.
I agree. Chris, do you recall if in the presentation by the engineering firm, did they explain where the monitoring wells are going to be placed?
Yes, they did come to me with this plan beforehand. It did not have any of the other information on the system itself, and mm-hmm. they were supposed to get that back to me for over a week. All I have, there's a very far, very corner down there. It says two, a shallow and a deep well.
The proposed monitoring wells are in this corner right here.
When they gave that to me, I called Horsley and Whitman and asked if they could give me if that was a key location, the best location for it, because it wasn't wider. I kind of looked as we were going, and they said it would be best by being line of sight.
Meaning a direct line from the
it's
well
not direct. If it was direct, you'd be going through one of the houses. So it's off to the side a little, but it's still on private property, so you'll only be, with the flow heading away from there, you won't be taking anybody else's septic or anything like that. There will still be the travel route of up there. So the well, if you look at it, it's 640 feet, the system, from the well.
Mm-hmm.
They did do like we asked. They moved it to the furthest corner that they could get it away.
The discharge.
The proposed system
in the lower corner.
Right. This is in the northeast corner.
Correct.
This is a 1,000 system, and the system goes in the ground, and the pumps will push your gray water out into the 1,000 system. The tanks will need to be pumped
mm-hmm.
regularly, probably twice a year. It looks like there's three openings. It's 3-inch. PVC going into a dowsing system. There'll be two holes at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock off center, and this will be tested to spray a certain amount of water in through a rock. It's going to be a gravel-based system.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be monitoring. There'll be observation ports on every end, an inspection port in the center, and it's at the far corner here. And this will be your leach area. This is your leach area.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, ultimately, I'm not an engineer. I can draw the same conclusions maybe that everyone else can from looking at that. However, I believe that we have the ability to have our engineers review that proposed system and to have revisions made if our people suggest that it needs to be modified in some way. I'm kind of surprised that based on the language that's in the settlement, I am surprised that we didn't have the ability for a rebuttal or at least a peer review of this system.
When Mark Ells went in and shut them down, they came over and he says, we're supposed to tell you what we're going to do with the wells. He says, they've told us not to do anything. They had some special meeting with them on a Monday. He dropped us off and said, is this where you want the wells? Well, I had Horsley Whitten on the phone and talked to him. I couldn't get that sent to me in a PDF. It was the guy, Ojla, from Down Cape Engineering.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to send it to me, couldn't. He did a file share with Horsley and Whitten, who sent it to me. Finally, I got it the day before.
Okay.
The When he did that, I asked Jose and Witten about the system. I said, is this the same? This is why I called Mark. I said, I don't know if this is the same system. I don't know if it's changed. And they said it's a micro-fast system, Ted. That's what he called it, a micro-fast system.
Is that what I saw to begin with?
Okay. You had the amphidrome in the beginning, right?
I had the first drawing.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure if Mark was going to be able to get there. He finally got over to there and talked to him to see what was going to happen, if there was going to be any decisions made.
Do you have a full set of plans or just...
I have that and that only. I do have the second page. This is the second page in PDF. I can send you the PDF of this right here. And page two of this that has Leachin Field and everything else.
Yeah.
I have that on a PDF.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, so you can look at it on the computer.
Can you email that to me?
Yeah. Yeah, not a problem. Now, but
would you please date and say when you received this and take careful notes on the late notice of all of this before this meeting, because Jessica knew that the Board of Health was going to speak on this. Nobody that else. I called several people to say we need to be there.
Correct.
But
I
you people should have, I mean, you have standing.
So did they approve this?
Yeah.
Yesterday?
They...
What's the shutdown on? You said Markel shut down? No.
It was shut down because of installations. I heard this through the grapevine. When Bevilacqua was in there working on the project, I heard through the grapevine that it got shut down. Because Bevilacqua pulled his gear out of there 2 days after they shut it down.
Yes.
And left one machine.
All right. When they bought the machines in, I walked across the street and said, what are you doing? And the son-in-law said to me, we ain't going to do this or whatever. I said, what are you going to do? No answer. That afternoon, fortunately, the dedication of the new police station in Oscar taking place, and Rick and myself were invited. And Mark L. said to me, and how are things in Catoosaurus? And I said, not too good. And he said, why? I said, I don't know who is in charge of looking at a site, but the land was cleared. We have bags and bags of insulation, which Marilyn Turner, who lives next door, has had to deal with for 3 months. Nobody's checked on it. Nobody has looked at it. Mark had somebody there within 15 minutes. And that's when the work order to stop, and the next day the bags were disappeared, and the land, which were no roping off of areas, no nothing, was done. So
there's no bales of hay or
there's nothing.
There's no wattles out there.
Carol and her husband went out and took a tape and from where they saw that the stakes were, because they felt they were invading what is now our area, protecting our well. I mean, this whole scenario, well, that's all.
Okay. Again, thank you.
They will not go until we get a letter of okay for it. The lady in the town of Barnstable and the growth management said that she will need a letter from us stating that we're accepting this system and everything else before she'll let it okay the plan.
Oh, okay. So there is a process. Essentially,
I believe, yes. I got that call from McGrath at 4:15 before I came here. He said, we need some kind of letter from you. I said, well, I'm going to go talk to the commissioners tonight, and we'll see how it goes there, and if there's any letter to be written, we'll do it.
Okay.
I mean, this is based on 13 bedrooms, right?
Correct.
And the concern I've heard tonight is spaces within the house that could be used as 8 additional bedrooms.
Right.
Because they're being called offices.
Correct.
And I'll just tell you, I had plans built for an addition of my house where I actually wanted to put an office. And they said, well, an office can be used as a bedroom unless you do certain things that would exclude from being a bedroom. No closet, and have a 5-foot opening that would not be... So that's kind of a backdoor way of having a bedroom once someone is all signed off and people can do whatever they want.
That's right. And this was asked by one of the men.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry.
I would think we had those. The building commission.
We have those folks? Are those for us?
No, those are mine.
Okay, all right.
But I would be glad to let you have them, and you can return them to me. I mean, you can reproduce them and then give me that. Because I was intimidating Mr. Ozor, he gave me. I said, we can't even read your plans, or the plans that you're submitting. So he said, well, you can have these in a conciliatory manner, so you can believe I can.
All right. Just a caution. I mean, this board has the ability to exercise certain rights over the wastewater system. If there's a loophole that the developer is going to use to add additional bedrooms to their structures, I'm not sure what methods we could use to prevent that. I know what we can do. That's a bit of a gray area. We could certainly address it, but at the end of the evening, that may not be a battle that we can win. What we can do is make sure that the system that they ultimately install has a certain, excess capacity. Typically, these systems are engineered with, 100% reserve. Doing the calculations, the 100% reserve, I don't want to suggest that we're going along with what they're doing, but what I think we can ensure is that in the event that this plays out and these rooms are used as we suspect that they might be used, that there's sufficient capacity in the treatment system to handle it, and that we're not getting, higher effluent or nitrogen than we would if we had 13 bedrooms. That's what I can tell you. What I think is, without having much of the information and not attending the board meeting, we've got to gather some facts on our side. And I think, Chris, you indicated that they're not going to move ahead
they're
until
they're requiring a letter from us before the woman in the office who gives the permit.
Okay. All right. Then what I suggest we do is get as much information to whichever engineering group you're comfortable using, if you think it's Horsley & Witten, because they specialize in this type of you know, wastewater system. I mean, they've reviewed it for us in the past when we were doing the settlement agreement. You know, we need to get someone who's familiar with the project.
Well, they, Mark Nelson over there at Horsley Witten was the one who did the original timeline report that if something, how long it would take to get from point A to point B, and they did that for the town of Barnstable. They were hired for the initial report back in the, when the zoning was done and everything. So he's, when I called, I talked to Gary Hedman over there, who just tested our wells over at five, and he said to us, to me, that Mark's familiar with it. He went to talk to him a little bit about it and everything else. I didn't talk to him about the system itself. I talked to him about the location of the wells and how deep they should be and what's, how much screen, you know, into the screen and out of the screen. Do I want a low? Do I want a high?
Right.
How that's going to work. But I can definitely, if I can have Mr. McGrath, is that his name? Dan McGrath? Is that the son? Drop off a full set of plans instead of just giving me one.
Yep.
They might be able to review the whole set.
We will require as much information as has been produced on this to have the review done by Horsley and Witten. I mean, that's a critical component. And then secondly, we need to know from our consultants whether the proposed monitoring wells, we need all the specs on the monitoring wells, and in, we need to know what the scheduling is for the monitor. I mean, along with this permit that's to be issued, the town is going to have to mandate.
I believe that's in our agreement.
Right.
Yeah, that
okay.
We have.
Was that addressed at all at the hearing?
I believe, no, but there is a, it was, they did talk about the wells that had to be installed, and Mr. Ogilvie said, well, I know that we have to put in that well, because originally they thought we were going to put in the well, and I had to correct them and say, no, you guys are putting in the well. We're going to monitor it afterwards, and you guys are going to reimburse us.
Right. Okay. All right, because, yeah, that has to be all conditions in their permit.
Right.
All right. Well, let's move ahead with that, but I would see, I guess I'll... I would say that we're, I'm not inclined to sign off on any letter approving anything until we've got the full report back from our engineers on this whole situation.
Okay.
And you please convey that to the town as well. And I'll send Attorney Boudreau a note in the morning.
Okay.
Advise him of our position.
Chris, would it make a difference if we wanted some language considering those offices to be possible bedrooms? Because they're 12 by 14 feet. That's a good size office.
Yeah. Bigger than my office.
Yeah. I just did.
Yeah, we looked down there, 12 by 14, and they have a 5-foot opening, and they're doing exactly what Don was talking about.
How many square feet are these units?
No, this is
the main
house. Main
house. Oh.
This is the main house renovation.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, this is not the main house. These are all
the
duplexes.
Right.
Yeah.
Each one of the duplexes has an office in it also?
12 by 14 units.
Yes.
Both of them, yeah.
I mean, this is what I'm saying to you.
So it's a third, essentially a third bedroom. Well, I think we know how to proceed with that. All right, thanks, Kristen. So is that it for your report for now?
Yeah, that's what I, yeah.
Okay, great. Then at this point, I'd like to recognize Jackie Barton from Barnstable Land Trust. Thank you for your patience. I know you probably rushed to get here. And,
It's good too that I'm home now, right?
Right.
And this was educational for me, and it just kind of goes to show that I think that our community, I'm talking about the town of Barnstable, our Achilles heel is monitoring and enforcement. You know, that you've got a permit. The permit has changed hands in this case, and now you've got a new owner trying to get everything he can to kind of maximize his profit. And somebody's got to watch it. Thank you, Phyllis, for your due diligence. And, Chris, I don't envy you in the process. I'm here to talk to you just briefly about where we are with the Lowell Park project. When last we talked, DEP said that they were unwilling to sign off on the conservation restriction. And then we started researching the possibility of the Prudential Committee holding the conservation restriction, and bond counsel came back and said no, that they didn't think that it was an enabling legislation of the district to allow that. Your attorney seems to think that maybe that's not quite the case, but the bottom line is the bond counsel is the counsel that lends money, and you're not going to get any money unless you satisfy bond counsel. So when last I talked to Mark, we said, okay, well, so then our only option here is to go back to DEP. So with the help of Tom Camberari from the Cape Cod Commission, we broached the subject with DEP. DEP said, we didn't say we wouldn't sign off on the conservation restriction. They said, in essence, but we would have conditions. So we've worked between DEP and Executive Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs, and I think that Catherine Serafinas at DEP and Irene Del Bono at EOEEA are having a meeting of the minds, and the bottom line, I believe, is this. The DEP will sign off, allow the water commissioners to be, if you will, the overseers of the conservation restriction on the land which is the Zone 2. And so, in essence, the conservation restriction will have a hierarchy of overseers. You will be the overseers of the land in the Zone 2, and the town will be the overseer of the land outside of the Zone 2 within the 16-acre parameter of the conservation restriction. So I think we have a solution to the problem. We're waiting for language from Catherine, then we can vet back to Irene at EOEEA, and then we'll get it all to David Houghton, who has approved the conservation restriction as to form at this point, but wants to see what you know, what changes those two agencies may make. So I'm hopeful that by the 1st of December we'll have that new language. So you have in your possession the most recent conservation restriction that I sent to you all.
Yes.
As soon as we get the language from Catherine or Irene, we'll send that along to you before David Houghton has had his say.
Okay.
So one of the things that Catherine wants at DEP, she wants us to create a map that shows where the Zone 2 is, which is easy enough to do, so I'll ask the town surveyor tomorrow to do that.
Okay, I think essentially we have that here. In this drawing, and this I think was a draft that we had used early on. So this sort of tongue-shaped area that comes down and sort of, you know, bisects the property indicates the Zone 2 on this side of it. I had earlier a drawing that I thought I brought with me that sort of showed the breakdown of the 3-acre ring and then the lands outside of it. Just to confirm, but I think in principle we all kind of recall from our discussions that, you know, the 3 acres is on this side, obviously, and was that southwest side of the line, the Zone 2. So the language that's proposed in here, the draft language, I think we've all had an opportunity to just read through it briefly, but my feeling is, and clearly, you know, this is a draft document, so we're not going to make any decisions based on what's in here, but my overall sense is that the requirements that the district monitor the Zone 2 area, I don't find them to be overly burdening anybody in the department or anything else, and essentially it's sort of the area that's almost in plain view to begin with. It's not like we're going to have to send a truck into the woods and, you know, or do anything like that. So my overall feeling, you know, from just reading the basic language is that at the end of the day, I read it and I said, it's not asking us to do anything different than I thought we were already going to do. I mean, that's sort of the way that we had indicated that it was not land to be used for the purpose of the waterworks or disturbed in any way, but yet the fire district water department would have the right or the responsibility to just observe and make sure that people aren't, you know, it's not getting clear cut or, you know, damaged or drainage runoff going into it and out of it or anything else. So that's my overall sense, that there isn't anything different than what we anticipated to begin with. So I think we can, as soon as the language is available, we'll run through it. And there's nothing more than sort of, you know, my usual comments on a draft document, you know, drawing an appendix A and whatever, you know, and those are the things that are sort of housekeeping at the very end. That'll all come together. I fully anticipate that. So, I don't think there's anyone else. You know, you guys don't have any other comment at this point.
No.
Early. Okay.
So I'm glad something's coming up.
Yeah. You did good work, Jen.
It's really been quite the interesting challenge. Our goal is to try to get this before the town council in their meeting of January 8th. And to do that, Jessica wants us to, as much as possible, have this conservation restriction tied up in a neat little knot.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I have for you, when is your meeting in December? Have you set that yet?
We have not. We'll schedule it this evening. As a matter of fact, there's no reason we can't select a date right now. The regularly scheduled meeting would be on Thursday the 18th.
I'm good.
Works for me.
Yeah, I think I'm good. I don't have any problems.
Then it will be December 18th.
Okay.
Yep. 5 o'clock right here.
So I will shoot to get that to you, hopefully at the latest by the beginning of that week, so that you will have it. And I will shoot to make sure that everybody that needs to get their input into it has done so. And
okay.
So you have it.
All then. Right.
Great. And the other thing, I guess, is that I met with Chris on behalf of the Land Acquisition and Preservation Committee. And we went over lands that are of interest to the district. I would like to meet with you again, if I can, and go over that. And I'd like to bring Casey so we can get it all down, because the truth is I took notes, but it's been so long ago at this point that I can't even decipher my own notes.
Okay.
So between now and...
Mark, we can bring
Mark too, but I just really would like to sit there at your maps and just kind of put it all down so we've got it. So I don't.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
So sooner the better.
So I'll work with you, and so if we can do that before December 18th too, that would be great. But if it doesn't work,
that would be best.
So I'll get to
you. Have something available.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So you guys will.
Yeah. Because ultimately, for me to put something forward, if you will, in the public domain, I want to make sure that you're all on board with it. I don't want anything that I'm writing to out and be wrong.
That's fine. I know that Ms. Miller has intimate knowledge of the whole process, and I would just ask, does that timing make sense for us within the... Okay, and so your sense is 30 days isn't going to adversely affect, but we should get that rolling.
Okay. Good. All right.
Terrific.
Thank you for all you guys do.
It's a
labor of love, I know.
No? Quite all right. No problem.
Oh, my God.
All agenda is buried in my pile of paperwork, so I'm getting to it. It's here. I'm just that's thank you. I appreciate it. But no, I've got it. Here it is.
All we have left is
following along. Okay. Yes. Okay. So that concludes the Barnstable Land Trust and Jackie's update, including the land acquisition project that we had started earlier this fiscal year. And Chris, you and Barnstable Land Trust folks will.
I'll get together with Jackie. Just to let you know, December, I might be gone for up to 2 weeks on, but I'll make sure I get in between. I'm gone for the first 3 full days. Then I'm back here for a couple of days. Then I'm gone for 2 days, and I'm back for 3 days. Then I might be here a whole week. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. And when you guys made the meeting, there's a possibility that I might not be. I might be off the week before Christmas. But if so, what I'll do is I'll try to make sure I can either get here or have somebody here to represent at least.
Okay.
In other words, yes.
I understand. All right, good. All right, so new business, leak rate adjustment requests. Plural?
Requests. There was only going to be one, but somebody got me the information at 3:45. So here is the first one. You can pass it down. That is a leak. I'll give you a little quick info on it. It was a pit. Jen and Sherry had said they thought that was quite a high usage. It might be a leak. I lifted up the pit and it was full of water. It was leaking right after the meter into the pit, and it was one of the real heavy roadway covers that's about an inch thick. And it wasn't coming up around it. It was sealed tight. It was just going down into the ground. I don't know how long it was leaking, but it was right there to the bottom of the pit. I shut the water off. It drained down within a day. They replaced the pot right there, and everything came back on and was fine.
What was broken? The meter coupling?
Beyond it. They had a hose clamp on the outside adjust from the pipe to adapt it down to with a threaded adapter on it to go to the...
They put on iron pipe-sized plastic on the outside of that thing?
Yeah, basically, yeah. But that's how almost everyone is. It's all sprinkler
pipe. Is it all sprinkler pipe out there?
Yeah,
really?
Almost all, yeah. Unless they're new.
Was it a nylon fitting in there or a brass fitting in there?
I'm not positive. I didn't go down there. Jake did.
Oh, yeah, Jake.
New guy, you know?
Okay. So this is the first one, and this is 211 Pomponessa Road, right?
Yep.
That's the one we're talking about. Okay. So there, am I reading this correctly? The 2014, the meter measurement was 1.1 million gallons?
Be the last one down.
I'm just reading the first
previous
reading
here.
The first
present
one is
reading.
For 600.
Yeah, 1,591,000. They used...
That was the reading.
Yeah.
They used 100,000 gallons is what it was. No?
No.
1.1 million gallons?
It says consumption, 1,000 of gallons. 100.
But...
So you can see that.
I guess, here's the thing. Ultimately, I recognize that this is something that there's no way that a homeowner would know that there was a leak between the curb stop and their meter inside the house, especially if there's a pit. I get that. My question is, how could there be that much water going out of a small service and then they would still have water pressure inside the house? It seems like the thing was just blowing wide open.
There was one guy living in there in the house, a single guy, and he was home on, when I knocked on the door, he said, "I can't help you," and all he says, "I'm home on sick leave," or whatever, he had bad back. I thought he couldn't walk too well. So I'm really not sure.
Okay, so this home typically uses 58,000 gallons, which seems like a lot of water for one person. That's maybe there was a pinhole going at that point. So the billion, if they use 1 million gallons, we'd be billing them for $3,254.
Correct.
Okay, well, whatever. In any event, for this case of Mr. Stephen Kitchen regarding the 211 Pompanesset Road property, I clearly think that this is what the leakage rate is made for, and that this person had no idea that this thing was leaking. So I would recommend in favor of making the adjustment using our leakage billing rate that would bring this bill down from the $3,254 down to $624.32. Any further discussion?
I make a mo- is that your motion?
I'm suggesting that's my
that's fine. I'm in favor.
All right, second.
No question. That's an issue that these guys, this is these pits and stuff that have been put in the ground and installed with irrigation pipe are before these people even had homes or knew what they were doing.
Is this the Kelly house?
No. This is off of Pompanesset Road before you get to all the Kelly houses. It's almost across from Tim Potter's house. It sits way
like
back.
Just as you get
to the top of the hill, it's on the left. There's like a fence that runs back.
I was just thinking.
The Kitchens, they've been in summer residence here for years. I believe he's Reverend Kitchen now.
I second the motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Good. No, my question was just I was trying to estimate the age of the line, and I know the Kelly houses were in whatever it was.
Yeah, 60s
so
basically.
That would be 50s, you know, almost 60s.
You know, with regard to some of these things that are like this, Chris, I don't know how you could ever know that they. What they all are, but some of these are going to have to be reviewed. These people are going to have to look at these services and make some upgrades on these pits,
right?
Especially if you have the pits,
right?
Because if they're nylon and they're on there with a hose clamp,
it's going to happen to all.
That's an issue. That's we, you know.
Okay.
I don't know whether they can look at them or not. We have to dig them up.
This is 68 Bay Road.
This is Mr. Ingram.
Holy ravioli, $2.7 million. I thought this was our biggest customer. It was a windfall, $8,000 bill, and it turns out we didn't really mean to use that.
He sent us quite a bit. He's not there all the time. He still had quite a bit of pressure because every time we showed up to test the meter afterwards, the sprinkler was running.
Okay.
So, no, he wasn't following the conservation restriction.
So what happened here?
I guess he didn't know that it had been leaking so long is what he told me today. He wasn't aware of it.
Wasn't aware that it was a leak or not a leaking that long.
That had been leaking that long, and I guess it was in the line itself because he hired Roderick Construction to go out there and change the line on it. I don't know when this happened. I remember Roderick coming to the shop and asking if we had some fittings that they could buy off us, and I don't know, we don't have anything that size because they put a 3/4 inch, I guess, inside the pipe to go through.
All right, so this says excavate and repair leaking 3/4 inch water service. So I guess that explains where some of it was going. So what was the 3/4 inch? Is that copper?
PVC.
40 feet.
So apparently, a couple inserts there. There was a 1-inch hole, he says here, in the at the property. A PVC pipe. That's what he installed. I'm sorry. I don't know what he has in the pit.
Okay. It was found that the irrigation system was not contributing to the leak. Domestic water service was the source. Roderick Construction was contacted to make the repairs. Roderick excavated, excavated, and repaired leaking 3/4 main water service. And so did you or anyone from the department go out and take a look at this?
We went out afterwards when Sherry had said to us that there had been a leak, she thought. And every time we went out there, there was a the sprinklers were going. So there was quite a usage going on. He came down, they got in touch with him by phone, I believe, the way it goes, and he shut the sprinkler system off, and everything stopped. So we thought it might be in the sprinkler system and notified him. He's the one who told us, no, Roderick was actually here and replaced the line and everything else. So
even after they got their overage bill, they were still just kind of operating along business as usual at the house?
They hadn't got it yet. We called them before they get the bill.
Oh.
When the office manager notices that there's an extra high usage, she almost sends us out right away, fearing that there is a leak.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they did. We got in touch with him before he got his bill. So when he got his bill, he asked if there was any way to get a break on it. He didn't know about it. It was basically under his house, I guess, according to this.
So again, same situation. The leak was between the curb stop and the meter.
Correct.
In the residence. All right. So no way of knowing is nobody's negligence. It's just a
I don't know of any other time that this man has used the leak grate or anything like that. At least I know this person hasn't.
No, I've never seen it. Yep. Nor would it really matter, again, because it's underground. There's no way you can.
Well, yeah, I believe that. I was just saying, is there a policy that you can use it once after that? Or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the event of a freeze-up or something where it's sort of,
right,
to some degree, it could potentially be negligent, like you didn't buy a tank of oil or something, that's maybe a little harder to understand, but where this, there's no way to know about this,
right,
until you get the bill. Again, my finding would be that this is what the leak rate policy is made for, and I would recommend that we apply it to Mr. Ingram for 68 Bay Road.
I just said, well, that's $7,500, 7,500 gallons a day, if it's over the course of the whole year.
Yeah, but see, he also has a sprinkler system in there. His usual usage is, his highest usage was 329,000 anyways, usually.
Okay.
So, I mean.
A year?
Yeah, a year. So he uses quite a bit of water anyways. So that's why, even because he uses it, it still gives it $2,600 he's going to get for the $8,000 bill. That's still a lot of water the money he has to pay for water.
His normal bill is upwards of $800 to $900?
If you look at it, 538 would be normally what, $1,614 there, so.
Right.
Yeah. You take a couple hundred less, yeah.
Wow, he's a good customer.
Oh, yeah.
So even if you take away the normal usage, it's still over 6,000 gallons a day.
Right.
Over the course of an entire year.
Yeah.
That was leaking out of there. My God, that's got to leave some sort of mark.
Well, that's what he said. He got a phone call that there was a wet spot underneath his, up by his
porch.
His porch, it said here. So he didn't notice it because it was underneath the porch, basically. It's amazing how the cape, how the sands of the cape,
sand, right,
how long stuff can leak and you not know it.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it'll always take its easiest route, and if that sand's there, that's just going to take it. That's why there's so many septic systems. That's why, you know, the septic systems go right to the water table.
Well, I know, in my own situation, a couple of years ago,
the
department called me up and said, hey, you seem to have used a lot of water, and we found a leak in the line that goes from my house to my garage. 6 feet down in, you know, underground.
Never came out,
So we had to dig, you know, excavate the whole thing and change the line. And unfortunately, it must have just started because I didn't really use that much.
No, it wasn't higher than the norm.
I didn't apply for relief.
Yeah.
It was, I just kind of rolled with it. Anyway, so again, any more discussion, or do you want to make a motion on Mr. Ingram?
Well, I'd like to take
a second.
I'd like to make a motion that we apply the relief for this case.
Second.
Aye.
All right, aye. It's unanimous. Again, this is the, you know, the what it was made for, really.
There is one more out there, but we don't have it. They didn't come in with the paperwork yet. So it might be here in December. It might not. If they don't make it in December, they get a late fee.
Yeah, they must have really been surprised to get the $8,000 bill. Wow. Okay, any other business? I think we've done everything that's on our agenda. We've already selected the scheduled meeting for December. So, motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn, second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned, 7:15 p.m.
I know with gas meters, we have a device on those that if there was to be a break, they would have free flowing.